Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How many times? That's the question that Jesus, by means of a parable this morning, is answering. How many times? Peter had asked this question, how many times do I forgive my brother when he sins, when he repents of his sin? Many times. Now, to understand where the question is coming from and why Jesus answers the way he does, it's always good to keep in mind the context of Matthew 18. Usually, Matthew 18 has become something of a technical term with regard to the steps of excommunication in a congregation. So when you hear someone say Matthew 18, usually what they're referring to is Matthew 18, starting in verse 15, where Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, you go to him to show him his fault in hopes that he would repent and that you would forgive them. But what we often forget is why Jesus tells us to do this. So I'd like to go all the way back, actually, to the beginning of Matthew 18 and just remind us how we get to this parable. Remember, the beginning of the chapter begins with the disciples coming to Jesus with this question. They say, Jesus, who is the greatest in the reign of heaven? And you know the story. Remember, Jesus, he takes this child, places him in the midst of the disciples, and he says, there you go. That's what greatness looks like. Meekness, lowliness, the one who is humble and weak and foolish, prone to wander into danger, that person is the greatest among you. That person is worth your time and attention and energy. In fact, Jesus goes on. He says, so great are these ones among you that it would be better for you to be drowned in the sea than for you to lead one of them into sin and unbelief. So great are these weak and needy ones among you that when one of them strays off away from the flock in sin, they are worth leaving the 99 in order that the lost one would be found and restored to the flock. See, Jesus upends their understanding of greatness and ours. And only then, having turned our understanding of greatness on its head, then Jesus says, so, when your brother sins against you, go to him. Why? Because he is the greatest. He is deserving of your time and energy and attention. And by saying this, Jesus dismantles our worldly way of understanding forgiveness. Forgiveness is a very misunderstood thing in our world. And Jesus here teaches us first that forgiveness is not about you. It's not about your feelings. Forgiveness is all about the other person who is straying in sin. I mean, this is why Jesus says to go to them. You don't wait around for them to come to you. They may not even know that they have sinned. And so you go, not to make yourself feel better, not to show them how much more righteous you are than they are. You go because they are your brother or sister in Christ and may be caught in sin that they don't even know about. And so out of concern and love for the greatest, you go to them to restore them. And you know, so often we think, well, who am I to go and show someone their sin? I don't want to seem self-righteous and judgmental. This isn't about being judgmental. This is about a fellow member of the body of Christ suffering. And when one member suffers, the whole body suffers. And so you go out of love for a fellow member of the body. Jesus also reminds us here that forgiveness is words. This is probably the most misunderstood thing about forgiveness, even in the church. That somehow forgiveness can take place without a single syllable being uttered. How often we hear something like, well, you know, so-and-so did this to me and it really hurt, but I've found it in my heart to forgive them. I always want to ask, do they know that? Have you talked to them about that? But it is quite convenient, isn't it, that I can forgive someone just by changing my attitude, never having to look them in the eye to tell them they have hurt me, never being anxious that my own sin might be exposed in the conversation. No, instead, I just send positive vibes their way and call it forgiveness. If that were forgiveness, then why does Jesus tell us to go to a person, to use words to show them their sin, to hear their words of repentance, and to forgive them with words? You see, forgiveness is not just a change of attitude. It is objective words spoken from one person to another so that the greatest in our midst would not be left wandering in sin. Jesus also reminds us that forgiveness happens on his terms, not ours. It doesn't depend upon how sincere you think a person may be. When sin is exposed and words of repentance are spoken, it's not your job to try to peer into the mind and heart of a person to try to figure out whether they're saying it like they mean it. No, when sin is exposed and words of repentance are spoken, you have one option available to you, and it is to speak the words, "I forgive you." Now we begin to see, or at least I begin to see, why I want to ask the question, how many times? Now we begin to see that in our life together, there are no innocent parties involved. Even asking this question exposes something about us and our sin. It's really not all that different from the lawyer's question. Remember, who is my neighbor? A question spoken out of a desire to justify myself. See, when someone sins against you, it hurts. You know that. And sometimes it hurts very deeply, and there are lots of feelings and emotions that get involved, and great is probably the last adjective that you would use to describe the person who has sinned against you. And you might be willing to forgive them once, twice, maybe three times, maybe even seven times, like Peter says. But how many times? Well, so Jesus has to tell us this parable to put us in our place. You heard it. One servant owes 1,000 lifetimes worth of debt, 10,000 talents. It would take 1,000 lifetimes to pay it off. The king, the master, comes to settle accounts, and the servant says, "Please give me more time." As if he'd actually be able to pay it off. But the king, he doesn't actually make a deal with the servant. He says, "Forgiven. Completely and totally." Well, that servant then goes and goes to one of his fellow servants who owes him 100 denarii. That's 100 days' wages, about 3 months of work. And he does the exact same thing that the first servant does. Falls to his knees, asks for more time, promises to pay it off, and he actually could. And yet that first servant chokes him, grabs him, says, "Pay back what you owe," and when he can't, he throws him in jail. Their servants around them are watching the whole thing. They go report back to the master, and he comes and says to that first servant, "I showed you all kinds of mercy. Shouldn't you also have shown a fraction of that to your fellow servant?" Jesus ends the parable with that sobering statement, "So too will my heavenly Father do to you. You do not forgive your brother from your heart." You see, the question, "How many times?" is just another way of asking, when don't I have to forgive the one who repents? And Jesus basically says, that's not an option. You see, there's this connection between Christ's forgiveness to us and our forgiveness to one another. To refuse to forgive someone who has repented of their sin is basically to take that immeasurable gift of Christ's forgiveness and to say, "You know, thanks, that's great and all, but I don't really need it as much as you think I do." And so all of a sudden, this parable begins to do its work, not just to Peter, but to you and to me. Now, you and I begin to see ourselves in the place of that first servant, on our knees, pleading for the master's mercy as our own sin is exposed and condemning us. But here's the beautiful thing. What does Christ do as we are there on our knees pleading for mercy? Well, he speaks a word. A bare, objective, promise-filled, proclamatory word. It's a word which doesn't make a single demand upon you. It's a word which brings with it no conditions. And he doesn't add at the end of it, "But I'm really, really hurt by what you did." He doesn't follow it up with, "Make sure you never do it again." He doesn't say, "Just so you know, this is getting really, really hard for me to do." No, he just lets those beautiful words hang there for you to savor and to cherish and to cling to in faith. "I forgive you all of your sin." Did you ever think about that? "I forgive you all of your sin." All of it. Your debt, a debt that would take eternity after eternity after eternity to pay off, it has been canceled. Not because of anything you've done. No, the transaction has been wrought in the blood of Christ. Every last ounce of your sin has been nailed to the cross. It has been washed clean in your baptism. It has been done away with by the mighty work of God. How many times? One time. On the cross of Christ. And that forgiveness continues to be doled out to you even today. How many times, then, is not a question that is asked by the person who has been the recipient of such a gift. How do you find it in your heart to speak words of forgiveness to the one who has sinned against you? Will you find that forgiveness in the heart of Christ, who considered you in your sin and weakness and foolish enmity with him? He considered you a great one, so great. After you, laid down his life for you. In the name of the Father and the Son.